The reading this morning is from Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 23, to be found on page 268 of the Pew Bibles. Just recapping a little bit, for those who may not have been here last week, you will remember that Naomi, a widow from Bethlehem, had been living in Moab because of famine in Israel. Now the famine is over, and Naomi's daughter-in-law, a Moabitess called Ruth, has come to Bethlehem to live with her. So we read. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather pull out some stalks for her from the sheaves and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today?" Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead, she added. That man is our close relative. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord.
So we pray. Father God, please may you send your Holy Spirit now to open your word to our hearts and to open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please be seated. Do reach for a Bible if you've got one near to you in the pews, or maybe you want to look at the text on your phone. But turn up chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. It's on page 268 of the Church Bibles. Well, so far in the story of Ruth, we've seen a family that left Bethlehem, which literally means the house of bread. It was a place provided by God. But they left Bethlehem, the house of bread, because of famine, to look for food in a pagan country, Moab. This family has now been reduced to two widows, Naomi, an Israelite, and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, a Moabitess. But there's hope, because they now have returned to Bethlehem, and the end of chapter 1 left us on that encouraging note, because as they arrive, the barley harvest was beginning. So things just seem to be looking up. There's that ray of hope. Now, this return for Naomi and Ruth was not just a geographical one. It was a spiritual return. Because as we see from verse 12, their return to Bethlehem was because they'd decided to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. Their return to Bethlehem was actually a return to the Lord, to coming under his shelter and protection. Now, the events of chapter 2 all take place within one day. And the theme of God's lavish favour runs throughout. It's there in verse 2, verse 10, verse 13, 19 and 20. You can have a look at it a bit later on, but his favour runs throughout. And as we'll see as we go through the text, God delights to show favour to those who take refuge in him. God delights to show favour to those who take refuge in him. So firstly, let's note God's plans that lead to his favour. God's plans that lead to his favour. Verses 1 to 4. Now the writer doesn't explicitly tell us that God is at work in these verses. It just looks like on this day Ruth is extremely fortunate. Things just seem to come together for Ruth in a very special way on this day. But it's clear that the author wants us to see the hidden hand of God at work behind the events that are taking place. Verse 1 gives us an important bit of background information. It says, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. The next two verses then record Ruth's decision to go off into the fields in the hope of picking up leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour, says Ruth. And Naomi agrees, which tells us something about just how poor and desperate they were. The people who went round gleaning after the harvesters were the poorest of the land. And God's law provided for the poor, for sojourners, for widows and orphans. God's law provided for them, allowing them to gather standing grain at the order at the edges and borders of fields, as well as gleaning dropped up stalks or leftover sheaves after an area had been harvested. So Naomi agreed to Ruth's plan to go ahead and glean, but she gave no direction as to where Ruth should go. So Ruth just heads out and begins to glean behind some harvesters nearby. But look at verse 3. It says, as it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to, who, remember from verse 1? Boaz, who just happens to be from the clan of Elimelech. Now we might say, as luck would have it, but of course God doesn't do luck. See, the field Ruth just happened to glean in was the exact field that God had planned for her to glean in that day. And this is then reinforced by verse 4, which says, just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem. I mean, it's ironic. It's like, would you believe it? Not only is she in the field of Boaz, but then Boaz himself turns up. You know, what a stroke of luck again. No. See, the narrator tells us this because he wants us to see that the Lord has carefully planned these apparent coincidences to lead Ruth to experience his favour. Behind Ruth's decisions, without her knowing it, God was leading Ruth to choose Boaz's field. Now, of course, there's a mystery here that we can't quite fathom. You see, the Bible teaches that we make real choices in life that we're accountable for. And yet it also teaches that behind every choice and every event is the sovereign hand of God, guaranteeing that his perfect plans and purposes prevail. I wonder if you noticed that in our song, which we began with, the last verse of From the Highest of Heights. It says, every circumstance here has a plan you've made known to bring things eternally under Christ's throne. See, God has got plans for every single detail of life. That doesn't make us robots. No, it doesn't. We make real choices, and yet behind the real choices we make is God's perfect plan that cannot be thwarted. Ruth and Naomi don't know the outcome of these events, but from God's perspective, the outcome is certain. He leads them to his favour, favour that will become one more detail in the long list of details leading up to the coming of his son. More of that in coming weeks. But God's detailed plans are not only for the big story of his favour that leads to the coming of his son, it's also for the plans God has for each of his people that leads them to his son. For all the events and meetings and details of their lives that bring people to Jesus. God is at work in all things we face so that we can experience his favour and can continue to experience his favour as we take refuge in him day by day. Christians, like everyone in life, have their ups and downs. Their lives are full of twists and turns. But as we apply what we learn from Ruth, as we come under the shadow of God's wing, we can know where our life is going. We can know who is in control. And we can know his favour upon us. So God's plans that lead to his favour. Secondly, favour that points to Jesus, verses 4 to 16. In John's Gospel, Jesus said that the Old Testament scriptures testified about him. So the whole of the Old Testament is pointing to the coming and person and work of Jesus Christ. That means that Ruth chapter 2 does that as well. So as we read every chapter of the Bible, we should be asking, how does this chapter point forward to Jesus and his coming? And in these verses, in chapter 2, we see shadows of the Lord Jesus in the character and actions of Boaz as he shows Ruth and Naomi favour. You see, Boaz is the ideal man for the Lord to use as his channel of favour towards these women. He's ideal, firstly, because he's a relative. We're told that twice. He's a relative. You see, the full significance of this will become clear next week. But as a relative, Boaz had God-given responsibility to care for the needs of members of his family, and that includes the wider extended family. So he's a relative, but secondly, he's a man of standing. Now, the word standing speaks of him being a man of character, of wealth, of position, of strength. It's telling us that Boaz is not only a relative, but he has the resources needed to be able to help Ruth and Naomi. What's more, Boaz was godly. Now remember that this story takes place during the godless time of the book of Judges, when everyone did as they saw fit in their own eyes, we're told at the end of the book of Judges. And yet here is a godly man. We can see he's a godly man because Boaz sees it as normal to refer to the Lord. He sees it as normal to refer to the Lord when he converses with his workers. He says, "The Lord be with you," and they respond, "The Lord bless you." You see, the Lord was at the center of his everyday activity. Here's a man who has stayed in Bethlehem during the time of famine. And now he's seen the Lord come to the aid of his people. And Boaz's godliness is seen in his obedience to the law, which called God's people to leave the edges of their fields for the poor and widows, to allow them to glean after the harvesters. And he's allowing Ruth, both a widow and a foreigner, to glean. So he's wanting to be obedient to the law of God that helped provide for the poor. What's more, he's welcoming and hospitable. He shows warmth to Ruth. He calls her my daughter. What a lovely tender phrase. He shows her hospitality, allows her to drink water alongside the other workers. He gives her some lunch in verse 14. What's more, he's considerate. He's considerate of her needs. He allows her to stay alongside the servant girls. He doesn't put her amongst the male workers. No, he's sensitive. He offers her protection, verse 9. He tells his men they must not touch her. And he's generous. You see, at lunch he gave her all the food she wanted, such that she had leftovers to take back for Naomi. He even encouraged his workers to deliberately leave sheaves behind for her to pick up. You know, oh dear, I've dropped some. Oh dear, I've dropped some more. So that she can glean plenty. And at the end of the day, Ruth went home, we're told, with an ephah of barley, which amounts to about 2 weeks' supply of food for two people. People who gleaned really only gleaned to get enough food for that day. She's gone back with 2 weeks' worth. You see, his generosity went over and above that which the law required. Boaz is showing lavish favour. See, Boaz in his person and behaviour is like a little model Jesus. You see, in taking on a human nature, Jesus became our relative. He became part of the human race, and he saw it as his responsibility to take care for us. As God in human flesh, he was the man of ultimate standing. Because Jesus had all the resources of God at his disposal to use for our needs. As a man, Jesus was the most godly person ever to walk this earth, with God at the center of his thinking every single day in everything he did. Jesus was obedient to every detail of the law, perfect in every way. Like Boaz, Jesus welcomed the outsider. He was happy to associate with sinners. He opened his arms to all who came to him for help. He was sensitive to everyone, dealing with each personally and with great kindness, whether it was the widow or prostitute or grieving parent or hated tax collector or even his grieving mother as he hung dying on the cross. What's more, in his death, Jesus protected all who came to him for refuge, shielding them from the wrath of God their sins deserve. And Jesus gave refreshment, hospitality to his people, if you like, giving them the water of life, the water of his spirit to refresh his people and give them new life. And Jesus is so generous in pouring out his abundant grace on all, seen in the feeding of the 5,000, allowing everyone to be absolutely stuffed full, and still there's 12 baskets left over. Jesus has lavish generosity and abundant provision for all his people's needs. You see, Boaz is like a mini thumbnail picture of Jesus, who is the high resolution image. In Boaz's kindness and favour to Ruth, we see Jesus' kindness and favour to us. And of course, as receivers of his kindness and favour, well, every believer is then called to go and do the same. Because Boaz and the Lord Jesus become models for us. We are to be channels of God's favour to others. It's why the people of Israel in the Old Testament were called to care for the poor and needy, and why there are so many laws surrounding that. God's promise was that those who showed favour to the needy would never lose out. So they too would be blessed. You know, God often uses the kindness and generosity of his people to lead others to find refuge under his wings too. Maybe it was the kindness and generosity of Christians that we know that led us to find shelter under the wings of the Lord ourselves. I wonder, who might the Lord be prompting you to show favour and generosity to over this coming week? Having received from the Lord, how can then we share his favour with others? Well, we've thought about God's plan that leads to his favour, then the favour that points to Jesus, and then finally, favour that gives hope. Well, as Ruth returns home after such an amazing day in the fields, and Naomi sees her laden with grain, and no doubt beaming all over her face, well, Naomi recognises that someone has shown Ruth great favour that day. And when Naomi hears it's Boaz, who happens to be a relative, well, she recognises the kindness of God behind the kindness of Boaz. Did you see that in verse 20? "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Well, who's she talking about there? Is she talking about Boaz or is she talking about the Lord? I think it's deliberate. We're not, because actually it's both. At the start of that day, their situation looked desperate. But 12 hours later, they both are filled with renewed hope for the future. Why? Because they've tasted the Lord's kindness and favour. Now, yes, at this point they are still widows. At this point they are still poor. And life is still hard for them. On one level, hardly anything has changed in this 12 hours. But actually, on another level, everything has changed. Because now they've received a hope-giving experience of the Lord's kindness that fills them with hope for the days ahead. If the book of Ruth was made into a movie, you can imagine the director shooting this part of the story with the sun going down over Bethlehem. And then cutting to a scene of Naomi or Ruth in their bed with their eyes shut, heads on their pillow, and smiles all over their faces. You see, experiences of God's favour give hope for the future. I was speaking with someone this week who, in a dire situation over the last couple of the weeks, faced this situation where there seemed to be no obvious solution. It just seemed like they'd come to a dead end. And they cried out to God in prayer, and the Lord opened up a way forward the very next day that they could never have foreseen. And this person phoned to just say, "Would you believe it? What a stroke of luck." No, they saw the hand of God. The hand of God's favour where they could not have seen it coming. And it strengthened them. They've still got challenges ahead, but God's answered prayer there has filled them with great confidence for the months coming up. You know, most of us will have known times like that if we've been believers for some years. Times when we know that God turned up in a big way in our lives and met a very real need out of his grace. Remembering his favour and provision from the past is always a prompt to trust him for the future. To keep looking to him, to keep returning to the Lord day by day, to take refuge under his wings. And when we do, we will be filled with hope for whatever we face. Or in the words of Paul, we can rest assured that if God is for us, who can be against us? Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful story of the book of Ruth and the way that you are involved in absolutely everything that's happening. Thank you that you are the same today, that you've not changed, and you're involved in all the details of our lives. Though we cannot understand everything that's happening, Lord, we can be assured that as we take refuge in you, you are working your plan out in our lives. And we know that your plans for your people are always for their good. To lead us to your Son. To make us more like your Son. To give us eternity with you. Oh Father, fill us with hope in you today. Remind us of those blessings that we've received from you in the past. That it will give us a confidence and a trust in you for all that lays ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.